All right, so I'm here with my good friend Derek Munzenmeyer, who served in the United States Marine Corps, and we will be conducting this history interview for History 298 with Professor Doherty. So, Derek, what branch did you serve in?
I served in the United States Marine Corps.
All right, and from what years did you serve?
August 2011 to November 2015.
All right, so 4 years?
Yep, 4.5 years.
All right. And what was your first encounter with the Marine Corps?
Ironically, it was actually at a college night. I was at the Danbury Mall for their college fair, you know, asking a bunch of colleges I was interested in at the time. It was maybe my sophomore year in high school. And I remember I was walking away from one college that couldn't really tell me much. I was interested in law enforcement at the time. Mm-hmm. They could tell me what their campus had, but nothing about the program.
All
right. So I walk away, the table right next to this college was the Marine Recruiter's table. And the recruiter called me over and stuff, asked what I was interested in, and they actually knew what they were talking about, unlike these college reps. So ironically, at college night was the first night I considered the military.
All right. And what led to you joining the Corps?
A lot of it was back in high school, I didn't make the most smartest choices, and also my family didn't have that much money. Mm-hmm. And I was a below average student, and in our generation, we need to be above average. Right. So I pretty much looked at maybe getting into community college, if that, or signing up for 4 years, being part of something that was bigger than myself, and you know, get college paid for. It gave me the kick in the butt that I needed, and it's best decision I've ever made.
All right, good for personal development. All right, nothing wrong with that. And what was your MOS, or job, in the Marine Corps?
My job was 7314, which was a UAV operator, or a drone pilot, for anyone who's not familiar with UAVs.
All right. And where did you receive your training?
My training was in Sierra Vista, Arizona, which is about an hour south of Tucson, Arizona, on Fort Huachuca.
All right. And how long was your training process?
The training process was 9 months. It conducted of a month of training to deal with how to process images, how to read maps. We went through an accelerated FAA flight certification, a course that usually takes 2 to 3 years. We got thrown down our throats in 2 months.
Oh, lovely. All right. And what was your duty like stateside? Kind of like a daily routine, if there was such thing.
No, there was a daily routine. I was stationed in 29 Palms, California, about an hour out of Palm Springs. And I was in the air crew training, and we called it the S3 shop. We were in charge of training the air crew, as well as organizing the unit's fitness test, rifle quals, and the annual training. That was our day-to-day job when we weren't flying. If we had flight ops, you would go out to the runway, however long your flight was, usually anywhere from as little as 3 hours to it could be as long as 8-hour flight. Hmm. You were done for the day. But if we didn't have a flight that day, we had a usual 7-to-4 job, 7-to-5 job, you know, pretty much doing paperwork.
All right. And now on to Afghanistan. And what year did you deploy?
I deployed in 2014.
All right. And what province?
I was in the Southern Helmand province. For the first 6 months of my deployment, I was on Camp Leatherneck. And then we actually closed down Camp Leatherneck. I was one of the last, maybe like 20 Marines to leave that base. And then we moved over to Kandahar, which is still in the Southern Helmand province.
All right. And you were there for what, a year?
I was there for 8 months total.
Oh, okay. And what rank were you at this time?
During my deployment, I was a corporal.
Okay, and what kind of responsibilities did that entail?
My billet was called a mission commander. When we were deployed, we hired a civilian contracting company to do the flying for UAVs. So I would be sitting in the middle of a room and have anywhere from 1 to 3 civilian contractors flying UAVs at a time. I would be in an instant messaging program to gain airspace, you request us airspace, talking to our supporting units.
All right.
Basically, I was the backseat driver. I was letting the civilians know where they needed to put the bird.
Okay. And how were your living conditions over there?
Surprisingly, very well. By 2014, living conditions were pretty built up. I was in a room with one roommate, big enough to fit 2 bunk beds comfortably. It was air conditioned. We actually had our own Wi-Fi in our rooms. Although there was a good 2 months in the middle of August, mind you, in Afghanistan, my air conditioning did cut out, and that was miserable.
That must have been god-awful.
We had 3 square meals a day, if not more. We had 24-hour gym access. It wasn't like I was living in a hole in a tent.
All right, so I can't complain about that. And what was your opinion of the AO, or area of operations?
I was surprisingly very comfortable with the geographics of Afghanistan, because 29 Palms is very identical. 29 Palms is actually where a lot of military goes to train for Middle East warfare. My first thought when getting out of the plane was that they just flew us in circles for a week straight and plopped us right back in 29 Palms. It was that identical. So it made the transition very easy.
All right. And did you ever venture outside the wire?
Not physically, no, but again, with working with UAVs, is I was constantly looking at live, real-time footage of what was going on outside the wire.
All right. And did you ever encounter enemy forces?
Firsthand, again, physically, no, but during the through UAVs, yes. Multiple times we would watch known bomb makers, or a lot of time we spent we watched the opiate industry out there. That's how the Taliban gets a lot of their funding. So we would start looking at the markets. We would find out where opiates would be sold, follow a trail, you know, just follow the breadcrumbs to finally find the distributors, you find the Taliban. We found them going into weapon cache sites. Never saw any actual combat through UAVs. And then there was this one night, I got woken up at about 2 a.m. by my roommate saying, get up, get up. And I hear the warning alarms going off, and we actually took IDF, or basically we got bombed twice, and we found no injuries, no casualties or nothing. But we found out the next morning, the after action report, that the first one impacted one block north of us. The second one impacted two blocks east of us. Oh, wow. So it was interesting to see how close that was.
All right. In your opinion, how strong was the Taliban's presence in this area?
Enough to take seriously. There was a couple times we would have some intel threats. We would, you know, kind of be on our toes. But there's a very real threat. You know, as always, you can never want to put your guard down over there. There is an occasion up in Kabul, which was about 100 miles north of us, where a Taliban insurgent posed as an Afghan army soldier and ended up killing a general.
Wow.
Actually, it was the highest ranking death in combat zone since, I believe, World War II. Hmm. So it's, you know, you always wanted to keep your eye out.
Wow. All right. And in your opinion, do you really think the Taliban are just kind of, you know, just kind of sitting back and doing harassing actions and just kind of biding their time until the U.S. leaves, or?
100%. It's, I mean, the Taliban came into power when the Russians, you know, went back home after invading. It's the Taliban thrives off of lack of structure, and they have infiltrated the Afghan National Army so much that it's very easy. When we closed Camp Leatherneck down, no more than 2 months, rather than close it down, we transferred control of it over to the Afghan army. 2 months after we left, the Taliban seized it. So it's, without a doubt, yes, they do play a waiting game.
Wow. Wow, definitely interesting. And are there any stories that you think might be personally interesting to share while you were on deployment?
I'm trying to think. Interesting stories.
I guess I'll give an example. Did you ever, like, encounter the legendary camel spider?
Yes, actually. The camel spider, it was within my first 2 days there, and we're walking to the chow hall, and all of a sudden, this thing the size of my hand comes running, scurrying out of under a dumpster, and I have never been more terrified in my life.
Yeah, those things are definitely
camel
ugly.
Spiders were, I don't like spiders to begin with, but that was not fun. Not fun at all. There was another time, it was this one morning, we're just grazing over, you know, surveying different farms and crops. There's this one guy, I don't think he was an insurgent or anything, I think he was just your average farmer, but he was in the field with his donkey, and his donkey was not moving. We probably spent a good 15 minutes watching this guy. He was hitting his donkey, he was drop kicking this thing, and this thing was not moving. It was one of the funniest things I saw.
Wow. All right, so towards the end of your deployment, could you sense that there was a sense of short-timer's disease, or in the case of, like, guys were no longer caring, like, you know, just kind of get me out of here, so to speak?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, deployment definitely went by fast, but a lot of us, like, for all of our own different reasons. I mean, like, usually around, like, the 7th month mark when, like, you're so close, you know, when you can finally start saying to your family, hey, next month I'll see you. Some guys with their wives being home. A lot of us tend to spoil ourselves with the surplus cash we get on deployment by a lot of online orders. Thank you, Amazon Prime, for that. So we're all excited to get back to that. But no, absolutely.
All right. And was there any kind of rumors of deployment being extended at all? Or?
Yes, actually, for a while, because I was over there from May 2014 till November 2014, which, if you remember correctly, that's when ISIS first started hitting the news. Oh, so great. I was in Afghanistan when we all first started hearing about ISIS, and there was, we were every day for about 3 months, we were waking up being like, are we going to Iraq? Are we going to Iraq? And a lot of us wanted to, but it never happened.
Well, I guess you could say that's a good thing or bad thing, depending on how you look at it.
Mixed emotions about it.
All right. And how did it feel to go home?
It felt amazing. I actually remember we flew back on a Delta airline flight, and I lucked out, and it was a double-decker flight, which I didn't even know they made double-decker planes. And it was, you just sat where the wherever the next free seat fell on you. And I was fortunate enough, I got lucky in a first-class booth.
Oh, nice.
And so, but I remember looking out the window at the sunrise, because we flew right from Germany to California. And I remember that sunrise coming up and realizing it was the first American sunrise I've seen in 8 months. And it felt great to be home.
All right. And what was the first thing you did when you got home?
Well, my dad surprised me. I remember pulling up on the bus on base, and there was a guy there with balloons. Go figure, my dad. I get off the bus. I hug him. I spent about half an hour saying hi to friends who were who didn't deploy with us and all this stuff. Then I turned to my dad and said, "Dad, I want to go to my room. I want to put on civilian clothes. I want to go to Applebee's. I want an American beer, and I want an American burger." And that's what I did.
All right. And how much longer were you in the Corps when you came, after you came home?
Almost a year to the day. About, it was like a year and like 2-3 weeks.
All right, so were you kind of like training the new guys in their upcoming deployments?
Pretty much. I came back and I was open with my superiors, telling them, "Hey, I want to get out. I'm getting out like within the year and stuff." So I never touched a UAV after deployment. Actually, I stayed in the shops. I got promoted about 6 months after deployment to sergeant. So I more so was the leadership role, kind of took a backseat to things, trained up other guys. So the last year was pretty relaxed for me.
All right. And now that you've kind of transitioned your life now, how do you feel about your life now?
I love it. My transition in the civilian world definitely was easier than I expected. A lot of it had to do with I joined WestCon's rugby team, and that was the brotherhood that I was looking for. A brotherhood that I didn't think I would find in the civilian world. So my teammates definitely helped with that transition. I was fortunate enough to meet some good people and continue to meet good people and everything. So people around me have made my transition better than I could have ever expected.
All right. And are you still involved with the Corps in any shape or form, or are you completely separated?
No, I'm a part of inactive reserves, which is basically I'll get a phone call before a draft were to ever get thought of. I've never heard of anyone getting recalled back, but, my recall time is up, next December.
All right. So then you'll be completely separated.
Completely separated.
All right. Well, thank you, Derek, for taking the time to do this interview, and we wish you the best and Merry Christmas.
My pleasure. Thank you, James.
All right.